of the quad was filled with noise, people, and luggage. The intelligence, I thought, is reductive. It hones, it whittles.
I'm starting at 10. Starting at 10. Starting at 10. I'm starting at 10. I'm starting at 10. I'm starting at 10 in the kitchen. 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 10.
This is 17 on the other system. This is 17 on the cable under the floor. This is 17 on the cable under the floor. This is 17 on the cable under the floor. This is 17 on the cable under the floor.
I'm starting at 21
on the other cable under the floor. I'm starting at 21 on the other cable under the floor. 21 on the other cable under the floor. 21.
This is 25 on the cable. On top of the floor, on the floor. I'm starting at 25 with the cable on the floor. I'm starting at 25 on the cable on the floor. I'm starting at 25 with the cable on the floor. Starting at 25 with the cable on the floor.
Now this is 32. This is 32. This is 32. On the microphone at the tape recorder. This is 32 on the microphone at the tape recorder. On the microphone at the tape recorder.
Yeah, in the cold wave, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, use them up pretty fast for juice or something. And then the others came from your aunt, didn't they?
Yeah.
All the navels were gone. So.
Yes.
Tangerines.
They go first.
Finish it.
Thought you might be out feeding the cows by the moonlight.
Well, Faye, we ought to go.
Yes, sir. Then I ought to go.
Yes, I'd forgotten about it.
Got a bright moon.
Yeah.
That's what we did, like, what we usually do.
Cookie came by about dark. And I think we came in and ate. So we didn't get to feed them in daylight. You know, they were just down to trailer.
Has he got his new truck yet?
Gosh, was he going to get one?
He said he was. He said he bought one over the phone.
He
had the most intricate going on.
Like you did it, wasn't it?
That's what he told me at the gas station the week before last. That a man had bought the red truck and was going to pick it up Wednesday, and he'd already bought another one over the phone.
Yeah. I saw the station wagon that he got. That they was turned down on that red truck.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it from the original owner. Had it on the rack. And the window and the door, back door wouldn't come down. It was stuck. Rusted or something. And he had it back there, loosening that up, you know. And Clyde told me this. He said, he never got it loosened. Man came by and bought it before he could finish it.
That's what Clyde said. Quick.
That's what Clyde himself said. Clyde said.
Oh.
He must get an eye for himself down there.
I don't think I could survive a day at Cookie's gas station. All it goes on.
I don't see why he wants to give it up and work at the university. First thing you know, he'll be getting the stuff from the university and trading it. Have a whole new batch of customers.
I don't know how a man could feel to get ahead with all Cookie's gifts, except that it costs much to live now, and he got a huge family, you know.
Yeah, but he seems real confident. He told me, you know, he said 10 years ago, he says, I didn't have a hope. Not a future in the world. He says, I didn't have any automobiles. I didn't have any horses. He said, I was lucky to make $25 or $30 a week picking oranges.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, now I've got horses. I've got four automobiles, two trucks, one he sold, one he bought. And he says, and I've kept my family fed and taken care of.
Yeah.
And he says, on top of that, I've paid $12,000 in doctor bills.
Well, that's something, isn't it?
Aaron ran this Shell station. He came down here for Cookie, I guess. He came down here after the war. He was a mechanic up in West Virginia, I guess. Kentucky, West Virginia. And he couldn't get anything to do either. You know, things were awfully slow down here. And a lot of places now. There's so much extra labor, retired people. And like here, you see such gifted people who are going through. And it depresses the wages. You can get extra excellent health for very little in Florida. So I wouldn't want to be on my own down here.
He says his wife and Laura could practically keep them fed and taken care of, as much money as they bring in. So talk to him, and I guess it's something like $400 a month. I felt real bad after I left, because here's Jim and I doing nothing. You know, we get $500 a month, you know, between the two of us. I thought, well, it seemed kind of funny. But.
Well, no, there's, I don't know what it is. I used to think that the public school system would make everybody alike, but it doesn't. There's still a vast difference. Somewhere along the line, you see, you go from, now Aaron was saying, and he brings kerosene out here. And he's a right gifted fella, and very amiable, friendly, nice to talk to, do business with. And he says they have those repair men, maintenance men, who go out, and the company trained them, and he says they pay them $1.85 an hour as a minimum wage. And I said, don't look like they could get good men for that. But he says that's all anybody pays, the minimum wage. He says there's not too much to choose from at that. That's in Ocala. And he knows the labor market. He's been a part of it, you know.
He said he couldn't tell his children, he has grown sons graduating from university, that, you know, things weren't quite as lush as they had been. Jobs aren't plentiful, because they'd always been used to, you know, being able to get something all anyway.
That was, I listened to the Sunday School Forum, and they moralized, and I think, well, I ought to go over there and moralize a little bit. And then I lose patience. I think that what they say is to no purpose. It ought to be based on information. They ought to talk only from experience and from information over there. And they don't. And it's useless. And so much needs to be known about a community, and they don't know anything much. If they do, they don't say it. It's in the school. And I don't know it. And I don't think the university develops much respect for that. With the undergraduates, I know. I don't see any with a zeal for understanding their communities. Most of them are just interested in themselves and talking about being happy. Well, it's not so easy to find out. I don't find it easy. I think to myself, as many people know all these things. And you know, I told you that like that. I talked to Cookie's boss down there, mm-hmm. Jay Bradenton. And all he knew about Cookie was that there was a chance he got to duck out and go to West Virginia. That's all he knew about him. He didn't know his family life, how many children he had. Or his horseman, his horse knowledge, and all those things. He didn't know anything about him. He didn't know anything about him. He came over and we talked for a long time.
What does the doctor say? They don't want to know about the patients. They wouldn't be the good doctors.
Yeah.
They know too much about them. Keep mine on the case. You got to have them in favorable circumstances.
Yeah.
Do you and Nell all right?
Just fine. They even seem happy we were going off and leaving them. At least they were happy with us, with me.
Uh-huh. You're going to see your mama.
They're going up to Georgia in the truck for Christmas with Betty and Charlie.
Yeah.
Up to there and see that place they bought.
Yeah, they haven't ever walked over it yet. And they just, you know, they bought the land. They kind of got an overview up, but now they're going to go up while they're up there and just really go over, find out where the spring is and all.
Mm-hmm.
Probably won't do much, but they're taking the truck. No heater in the front. That's going to be a cold drive. But they've got a tricycle for Scotty. I think his mother's got getting him a rocking horse. Faye's been wrapping presents.
Oh, Scotty's the little one. That is.
Yeah, he's three.
Three.
I think they had more fun buying for him than anybody else. Because a little boy, you can always think of something. They had all her wrapping stuff. I think she must have wrapped almost every present that they had, except in fact some of the ones for her too that she already knew what they were. She had about six rolls of wrapping paper and ribbon and
wrapping.
When I bought my presents or when we got ours, she came and she's helping us wrap stuff too. And she cut out decals to put on them.
She's mad because they can't get a Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're leaving next week.
Yeah. You said there's not much sense worrying about a Christmas tree because they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
Going out and cutting it down and decorating it. She's not too happy about it.
Lots of baking will be going on, I guess. Things like that.
Christmas cookies. Well, Jim, I appreciate you fixing the post and putting up some planks to keep the...
Does the croaker sacks work?
Yeah, except Molly gets her head over the top of them. We'll have to... Every once in a while, but it helps.
You know what Ajax does? He grabs hold of them and just pulls as hard as he can.
Yeah.
He's ripped off several strips.
He probably likes the noise of it tearing. Tell him what Cookie said about the way a colt grows.
Hey, said Cookie, Ajax hasn't been growing like he did. I told Cookie, he says, no, that's the way they do. But he says, sometime you'll come out here and you'll look at him and say, well, what's happened? He says he'll be 6 inches taller on the front end. And then he said, next time he'll grow a little on the back end. They don't grow on both ends at the same time.
Now, nobody with Cookie would know that.
Just think of that.
Yes.
Well, they got the well working. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yes, that's nice, isn't it? That pretty little red pump.
And he comes over at night and feeds those horses. At least he feeds them some.
Yeah.
He was over four nights last week, he said. So I'm glad to know him. And I noticed the sack, the grain was down in the sack.
Yeah. He feeds them both. He feeds them both in the same box out there. And the big horse won't let Rowdy eat. She won't let him get up close, even drink. Because she's had all she wants and stood there a while. She gets tired standing there. Rowdy can come up and drink.
He said, I saw him just recently this afternoon, and he said he was going to build a shed for them. They never had to eat outside since they'd been born.
Yeah.
And they weren't used to eating outside.
Yeah.
And he's going to build a shed for them so they could have something to eat under.
Yeah.
Well, the story I got was that they'd never been fed, and they'd always eaten outside, and in the winter all they got was a snowball.
Well, I thought I'd heard something like that.
Now, that's that they had never been inside.
He said they'd never been fed in the winter. They'd always just had to do it for themselves. And in the winter, all they got was a snowball.
Just worth their own living in the winter.
I think he said his father gave him, between the two of them, he'd give them a bale a week or something like that. And he said, and outside of that, they got a snowball.
Well, he's going to build a shed for him. He said, nothing fancy. I said, down here in Florida? Yes, sir. Build a shed for him down here in Florida to eat under. And Helen said, well, they could learn to eat in the open like anybody else. Cookie said, no. They never eaten in the open.
You know, Rick went over to see Cookie.
She
know him?
I don't know him.
When I saw him, he said he'd been over there and that Cookie had tried to sell him a horse. I said, Cookie wouldn't want to sell you a horse. He'd know you wouldn't have a place to put it. He had to talk about something. And Rick sort of duck. And the next time I saw Cookie, I said, Rick said, the first thing, you tried to sell him a horse. Cookie said, well, he didn't say anything. I had to say something. So.
In the meantime, if he'd sold a horse, then I'd buy too. I don't even have any pound cake for you. I'm just getting ready to make one.
We got to get
one. Well, just cleaned it out, didn't we?
Uh-huh, the last one. And I was going to have one all fixed for you.
We
had
cake all weekend.
Chocolate cake and fruit cake.
And mullet.
And mullet.
And mullet.
Yeah.
Jim's grandfather got 5 mullets. Great big huge things. How much did they weigh a piece? 3 pounds
about
a piece,
pounds,
wasn't it? And they would clean them, and they were just, you know, filled with this the yellow robe. And got through cleaning and dressing for granddaddy. They went off and left, and Jim went back and got him 5. So we had mullets for supper.
They sell the robe for 90 cents a pound. And they sell the fish without the robe for 30 cents a pound. And so we bought the fish with the robe for 35 cents a pound. And then just cleaned them out. We came out pretty good on it. We got $2 or $3 worth of roe, and then the fish too.
Uh-huh.
Why not? Is that the way he does, Suzanne?
Jim?
He figures?
Sure.
That way you won't have to worry, what is
it? Is that when we get impulsive and buy a horse? We've got that box of oranges in the trunk. It's about as big as half this table, it seems like. Just filled with oranges and grapefruit. You had to do a lot of juicing. No, these are cantaloupes and tangerines.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And grapefruit. They're from my parents.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take them with you?
Yeah.
How far are you going?
Houston.
Where's Faye?
Houston, yeah. I've got her address.
Yeah.
If we get there Tuesday, we might be able to see her before she leaves.
Oh, she's going to leave.
She's coming home.
Well, tell her not to leave as far as Suzanne, until Suzanne and Jim get there.
I think she plans to leave Friday. Oh, yeah. I guess the doctor will let her come.
The doctor won't let her come.
The Betty won't Christmas, too. She couldn't come with the doctor? Anyway, I hope she's there. I'd like to see her again. Goodness, you'd have a long drive. You think it'll take just a couple of days? Just 2 days. Spend the night in New Orleans.
What'd you learn last time?
I didn't learn much of anything that I could see would be much use. That the reference and bibliography course, I guess, that course got to be kind of funny sometimes. We all, the whole class, it's just, we'd sit there and gripe about the assignment. We'd all meet at the same table and just go through all these reference books she gave us. And make up these cards, you know, describing the book and making up a question, answering her question. And it got to be funny. And we just started, anytime we'd see somebody, we'd say, "Hey, scholar adventurer." Because she'd be so enthusiastic, she'd come in with a book, you know, she'd have a whole tray load. She said, "This book has such and such a thing." And I found out what I use them for is to give the freshmen things, you know, where they can find things if they want to look them up. But the other course, the history of the English language, I can't see much point in that at all, except, you know, for reading Chaucer to help maybe a little bit. It was fun because Dr. Algio was a real enjoyable teacher. Seems like most of the linguists are. They have sort of a dry sense of humor. But the most I got out of this quarter was just beating the other kids. And it's the first time, you know, here that I've had a group of friends, you know, that we've been in the same class together.
Yes.
And you're not instead just coming and sitting down and listening to the lesson and leaving and not seeing them till the next time.
Yes.
It was just, uh-huh.
Well, I've talked that, you know, but I've never made any headway at all on the graduates.
But, so there's about 5 girls and a couple of boys and then a whole bunch of other kids that I know by name, which is real unusual. You should go in, hear the last name and never hear the first name. But in this case, it just, like, we're taking the same a course together next quarter, too.
History of the English language, I always avoided that. It's neither fish nor fowl, neither history nor language. what object is its purpose does it serve?
Well, I was never able to get that really clear. It was just supposed to be to trace the changes in the
in English.
Yeah. But isn't the assumption that you know the languages already?
Yeah.
Yes.
And, like the last chapters would go over dialects and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, when I studied for the test, I was memorizing things like if a word in Middle English was spelled B-O-O-T and meant, and later would be spelled B-O-A, you know, that it had this long O, the open O and things like that, which might come in handy if I have to read Chaucer because I know a little better how to pronounce it. But I guess the main thing in the course that was supposed to be is to make people realize that the language isn't fixed. You know, it's not a God-given thing, that it just develops and people's attitudes change it. And a lot of times, words and things change without people knowing it.
No, that's not
good. Like I say, I can't see really much use in it right now.
You just got a specialist there, and he got to do something, so he talks to you about what he knows.
He went too serious about it.
There's a high degree of this being a student like
that. One of the boys in the class came over, and he was talking about it. He said, well, I'll take this course and I'll make an A in it, but I'm sure not going to go along with it because I think that whole Indo-European bit is a bunch of bull. And he told Dr. Agio that, and Agio said, well, you know, you're probably right.
All imaginary.
And he gets the parts in the, like the sound changes in Middle English, and he said, now tradition says that this letter A was pronounced in such a way. He says, I don't think that's really true, but as long as it's traditional, I'll go ahead and teach it, instead of putting in his own theory. But he did that quite a few times.
Well, there are a lot of things about language, but it's always debatable. What else did you do? Just those two courses?
That's all.
Just two courses?
Yeah.
Well, what tied you down?
Not to tie me down. Why do you guys out here every weekend?
What'd you pick up, yeah?
Oh, most of my stuff was practical stuff. Instead of anything lecture.
Well, what in the hell is it but practical?
This stuff on words doesn't sound like it's even practical.
Well, it's practical, it's pedestrian. Just earthy, it's so practical.
We had fun, though.
And that they were, what in the world do you think that is? Metaphysical?
A lot of trouble.
Yeah. Now, what did you do? What did you get done?
My stuff was, I had a course in tree breeding and one in economics and forestry. And I had a seminar in soils. And I had a class in soil physics.
Yeah.
Just sort of. Each course is sort of a lot different than each one. I mean, none of them are real close together. I learned a lot of stuff, but it was not much related this quarter.
Yeah.
There's a lot of new stuff, like economics as different in forestry than in general economics. Why forestry is economically feasible operations. When you have compound interest to worry about and you have to wait such a long time for trees to grow. I had a course in tree breeding. That was fun. You know, you learn how to...
And you did some.
That's supposed to be the next quarter. Practice, you know, the actual work in it.
You going
to
do it next time?
Oh, it's the next time it's offered. It's the next class and it's not offered the next quarter. But learn how to graph and stuff like that.
You could do that just working in the nursery. You don't have to go to the
nursery. You don't have to go to
the forest. Bop your teeth in the nose.
Learn how to put plastic bags over the cones and shoot them with a needle full of pollen. Stuff I'd probably never do.
Yeah. Well, you might. Yeah.
You can go up there and help your father out.
Yeah.
Be working with those
apple
trees. That's
probably the most I'll get out of it. Learn how to graft apple trees.
Well, there's so many things to learn. You know, you can't and you can't learn the philosophy or the principles of it anymore. See, they don't sing those things. I'll tell you, that little freshman class I had was charming. And it's the first human group of freshmen I've had. Now, what made the difference, I don't know. One thing, they weren't, the cream hadn't been taken off. They were, a good many of them were, you know, good readers. The exam was just marvelous. I never worked into an exam like that before. He gave a speech, and they were afraid to lead with a statement. You know my system. So I made them redo it and told them that they couldn't talk to each other, that their peers tyrannized over them. And that's what happens. Now the speech is at that stage in those groups where they know each other, while they, especially the girls act silly, they are self-conscious and you know how they act. Well, on the exam they took half an hour and wrote it out, and they made nice little statements and worked out little wrote out the experiences without any shame whatever, you see, without all that feeling that they got to impress you with their superstructure. And then the environmental people down in the, you know, on North Main Street sent out those letters, and I took those to class one day, because you know who was the actor who wrote that letter, you know what I mean. I've got another batch in there. I'm gonna send them out for Christmas cards. And you know, he was here at Accent 70.
Oh, Arthur Gunn?
Yeah. His, and I put that for half an hour on the thing. I said, your connection with the environmental business. And what you've done about it. That's all. And they wrote well on that. And almost all of them had that little swamp brook that they'd been brought up with a Niagara golf course, things like that. And that's the first group I'd got to say anything. And they wrote well. And I used to be able to get things out of the other vision, but I can't anymore. And now I had this nice little Emerson class this time, but I never really could say that I had control of it. I had much really. That was something to work with. They took hold of it well enough that one of the girls had gone down to the Barge Canal to see with her own eyes what happened, and she said you couldn't realize what had happened unless you saw it. And what over the bridge there downstream was the river the way it was, and upstream was what the Corvin is. And she just, you know, first-term freshman. And I, you know, I don't know what happened, Suzanne. It's the first time. It wouldn't be me. And they came to class. The only one that cut much was a colored boy in it. The underprivileged always cut more than the good ones. He was good, though. He was right qualified.
Is that the first time you brought him out for a picnic here, or have you done that before?
The freshmen?
Yes.
I never brought freshmen.
Did they come out this time? May have been.
Two of them came.
I guess that wasn't a big factor.
No. But the two that came were my Bowers all term. One boy and one girl. And they they're right steady the whole time. So maybe that helped. But it wouldn't be my class. It wouldn't be just mine. Those things are, you know, more general than that.
I was surprised. Of course, I was kind of scared. But almost all my students came almost all the time.
Well, I'm always
scared.
And
they're real good-natured. Yeah, they just were real responsive most of the time. Of course, I, you know, was kind of fumbling around most of the time. I'm very patient.
I'm always scared. The freshmen always fumble because I never have read the material before.
I had a paper from one girl I wanted to let you read because she wrote about, I guess she said she was 12 and was on her first bus ride in town. And this woman got on, and she describes a woman, you know, just very well. And she tried to put a little bit of dialogue in. The woman was telling about her next-door neighbor and the next-door neighbor's daughter's troubles with her husband and all sorts of things. But it was, kind of thing you want students to do, I guess. But she called it Maud, and it was just this glimpse of this very sort of pitiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the woman, the girl was able to, you know, kind of feel sympathetic with her, even though she was so alien to her way of growing. Like, she sits with her legs spread out, and she was real loud and used ugly language, and the girl was just sort of horrified and tried to look out of the window instead of at the woman, and the woman would smile at her and talk to the bus driver. And after a while, she started changing sort of in her attitude toward the woman.
Oh.
But it was...
Oh, really?
She was good.
Well, that's uncommon, isn't it?
But that was one of the papers, you know, I told them, you know, write what you'd like to. And she's the only one who did something like that.
Yeah.
And she did a real good job.
They don't have much protection. They're exposed to their peers so much, you know. Nothing can really, you know, be nurtured. As far as I can see. And they're so sensitive about
One poor girl got up there and she was just shaking, just scared. She never opened her mouth the whole time in class.
Yeah.
Except once in a while, but I told them one day I had a horse, and she came right up to me after class and she wanted to talk about that.
Oh.
She wouldn't talk in class. So, but if it was about her horse, you know, she wasn't a bit shy.
Yeah.
She wanted to know if I knew any place to keep it.
I was always scared of talking class, so I don't hold that against them. I try to get them to, you know. Or if I say anything, it's always the wrong thing. I remember I was in a Spanish class once, and I didn't know the Spanish, and I kept saying, well, now this way they'd say it in French, and the teacher would say, well, I never studied French.
Yeah.
That's what he got.
It's like that language class. They'd be talking about words, like the word draft, D-R-A-U-G-H-T.
Yeah.
I'd never heard that pronounced draft in my life. I thought it was dropped. You know, he said, what's this word? I said, dropped. If I looked up. You think y'all might be able to say it? We might. I'll talk to them, because I'm sure we'll get
there Tuesday. Now, this is a talk with Suzanne and Jim about Channel 1, right around 560, 6570, this Sunday night, 13th of December, 1970. I don't know if it's worth keeping or not. They're light-spirited, light-hearted. They've come back from the Cape and on the way to Texas. This is Channel 1, right around 560, 570, Sunday night, 13th of December, 1970. Talk with Suzanne Jim after supper. They came in with oranges from the Cape, some for us, and some they were going to take all the way to Texas. The a talk with Jim Suzanne this Sunday night, 13th of December, 1970.